Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to make up for the time that we missed. We've had computer breakdowns. We just spent some money to fix and upgrade our computers. Among the birthdays today, the founder of taxonomy, the identification of plants and animals, the Swedish scientist Carolinus Linnaeus, born today on this date. Famous, one of Lincoln's generals who couldn't quite get it together, General Ambrose Burnside, who was known for his whiskers, and he has quite a way with the ladies, but he didn't have what Grant had to really whip the South. Three actors born on this day, a British actor, Herbert Marshall, very rich, deep voice, Douglas Fairbanks, a senior who was born in, believe it or not, born in Colorado, and Frank McHugh, a great actor. One of the great German strategists, Helmut von Moltke, born on this day. The guy who was the architect for Lincoln Center, which had a lot of problems with acoustics. And I remember it opening in 1962 with Leonard Bernstein opening with Serenade to Music and Mahler's Eighth, Veni Creator Spiritus, and Jacqueline Kennedy graced the occasion with her presence. Another musician, probably Jewish-Russian heritage, known as Artie Shaw, but his birth name was Sharansky. Barbara Ward, British political theorist, wrote about the economy, her birthday, among the deaths today. Kit Carson, who I am related to. Bonnie and Clyde had their greeting and shootout and goodbye with the police and the sheriffs and the posse that was after them. They were killed on this day. Among the other deaths on this day was Benigno Algonado. He was captured on this day. Sorry about that. Judge Falcone, the Italian judge who was successful prosecutor of the mafia. He was assassinated on this day. Famous movie. He was assassinated in 1992, and of course, prosecutions of the mafia have been the same since. Among the events today, Joan of Arc was captured and betrayed and turned over to the French turned over to the British or the English to be tried and later burned at the stake. A notorious pirate. The English did their job this time with Captain Kidd. He was hung in 1701. On this day, also, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police were started in the West, I think Saskatchewan. And I have an interview here which we were going to play, which I did. It's part of our audio archives from the Brazola Carson Archives. The Mounties don't always get their man, but they get their mounts. Say that the Mounties get their man. Well, for once, the media got a Mountie. I'm welcoming Constable Marc Perrin of Winoski, Quebec, here to San Francisco. Welcome to San Francisco, Constable.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Marc, how long have you been in the Mounties?
Just about 5 years.
What have you done for all those 5 years?
After the first 6 months of basic training, I was stationed in the province of New Brunswick, where I worked for about 2.5 years. Then, after that, I was transferred to the Musical Ride, where I spent my last 2.5 years.
What type of horses are favored by the Mounties?
We, on the Musical Ride, use thoroughbreds. That's what the...
Canadian, I take it.
It's a Canadian hunter. And after long years, they figured that the thoroughbred was the best horses for the purpose we're doing right now, which is performance horses. We're actually not doing police work with those horses. We're only doing public relations, putting on performance all over the country, in the States, in Canada, and even sometime in Europe and Japan.
How does the Canadian hunter horse rate alongside a Lipizzaner?
Now, you're getting to be a little technical. I'm not really aware of the Lipizzan. I know the Lipizzans are also used for show performance. I would say that the thoroughbred really stands its place. It's a good horse, and right now really suits our purposes.
What does today's Mountie do?
You're talking about the Musical Ride members?
No, I mean just the RCMP. Are they like Canada's National Police Force or like a national state trooper like we have here in the States?
The RCMP is the federal police force in Canada. Now, let me clarify first. We do not use horses anymore for police work. The only use of horses are here with the Musical Ride. We do in Canada the work that you people would possibly consider, like the FBI work is handled by the RCMP back in Canada. On top of that, depending on the provinces, we also do, like the state trooper do in the States, we call it provincial work, and also some occasion municipal work.
Now, do you guys wear that brilliant scarlet uniform all the time?
No, we don't. Actually, we only do it once a year on duty on during police week. That's about the only time we wear a uniform like this, and for parades and a really special occasion. For any police work as such, we just wear normal uniforms. And depending on the province you work in, like if you work in the province of Quebec or Ontario, you will just be wearing civilian clothes.
Are there any women in the Mounties, Constable?
Yeah, there is. For the past couple of years, the RCMP has been recruiting females. Matter of fact, there was even females on the Musical Ride. Last year there was one, and the previous year there was two. This year we haven't got any. There'll be a couple next year.
Do you think, as a man, that men have a better relationship with horses than women?
I know that... You know, I only worked with one woman last year on the ride, and she was, as long as she does the work as well as you do it, she's welcome to be there. But
are there any special foods that you feed your horses?
We feed them Timothy A 4 times a day, plus oats times a day.
You don't feed them any of that Labatt beer?
No. Wouldn't make them too good.
Like the Budweiser horses.
Actually, if you really want to push the issue, one of the horses will drink beer.
Is that how does he perform?
He's pretty good at it.
Not the beer, I mean, in the ring.
Oh, he's excellent. Matter of fact, that's the only that's the oldest horse we got. His name is Eros, 20 years old. That's the reason why he's allowed to have those special treats once in a while.
Indulge. How would your horses rate alongside a Lipizzaner?
I couldn't compare. Really, Lipizzan and thoroughbred, just because I'm not aware exactly how Lipizzan perform. And we do not do any competition as such. We just put on performances. So I couldn't really rate it between Lipizzan. They're different horses, and we do different work.
Now, do you only use a Canadian hunter? You wouldn't use a Tennessee Walker or any of those high-stepping horses?
No, we definitely won't be using any Tennessee Walker. It was decided upon a long time ago that that thoroughbred would be used, and we've just been breeding that type of horses, and a Tennessee Walker would not be suitable for us.
Now, do the Mounties wear that scout uniform all year round?
No, we don't. We only use the uniform for performance, a special occasion.
What do you wear?
Depending on the province where you work in, if you do like provincial work, then you will be wearing just a long pair of blues, they call it, and a shirt, like any municipal police force or state patrol does. If you work in provinces where, like Quebec and Ontario, where the RCMP only does federal work, like FBI, you only wear civilian clothes, suit and tie. And
balanced diet. Constable, what kind of dogs do the Mounties use?
German Shepherd, if I are most of the dogs that the RCMP will use. They are trained out in Alberta, and they appear to be very, very good dogs for police work purposes. So we've been using German Shepherds.
Now, years ago in the States, there was a program put out by Quaker Oats called Sergeant Preston of the Yukon his dog, I forgot the name, Mush or something. Do you use Malamutes up there?
What, could you refer? What was your question?
Years ago, Quaker Oats. Okay. What type of dogs do you use in the Arctic? Do you use you don't use German Shepherds, do you? Or do you use Samoyeds or Malamutes?
Oh, we don't use dogs as such for pulling sleighs or anything like this. We do not use that anymore. The only use for dogs is in search for drugs or bombs, like all the other police force do around here. But we do not use dogs anymore for sleighs in the north. We just use snowmobiles or helicopters or planes.
For a young Canadian who'd like to go into the Mounties, what are the requirements today?
The basic requirements is just to be 19 years of age and have finished high school. Now, there is obviously a lot of people applying for the RCMP right now.
How many men do you have and women do you have in the force? Approximately.
It's approximately a force of 15,000 members. The amount of women would surely be over 1,000. But I can't tell you exactly the...
With the mileage of Canada, would that break down to about 500 a province?
No, it's actually a lot more than that. In the province of Quebec, you have about 650 Mounties. In the province of New Brunswick, you have about 350. But then, the other end, in the British Columbia, you might have 4,000 or 5,000 of them.
Oh, it's population density.
It depends on the population density and also the type of work that the members perform. In the province of British Columbia, they do a lot more state work that the state trooper would do here. Members of the RCMP do it out there. Thus, we need a lot more members in that province.
One last question. Do any Canadian Indians apply and are accepted to your force?
Yes, we got a special program for Canadian Indians, and a lot of them are now members of the RCMP, and we try to sort of make them work for the people so that they are in a better position to understand the problems and possibly be able to cope with it.
Can you think of any funny horse and man stories in your experience in the Mounties?
Oh, obviously I've been thrown a couple of times before because of the fact that about 90% of the members of the US ride never rode horses before. So when we first start the basic training, there is obviously at least one guy per day going down, and some guys go down two, three times within a matter of 15, 20 minutes. So all that after 2.5 years, you leave the musical ride with tons of good souvenirs about things happened before.
None fall in any horse droppings, do they?
Oh, horses fell down too. I can't even remember one horse called Eros. That's the oldest horse we have. We were showing in Puyallup, Washington, and decided to go for almost a little nap during a performance, so he ended up...
He was drinking that beer.
He wasn't drinking beer that day. But he went down, and the rider had to get off him and get him back up and then go back through the ride again. So that was quite something.
Now, what happens to the horses after... when do you retire them, and what happens to them?
Horses will be kept on the music girl ride as long as they are sound. If we see that they get to be stiff or are in any kind of pain or they can't cope with the traveling anymore, we'll just leave them in Ottawa, where all the new riders are being trained. Now, they will be there until they are either too old to do the job, then we'll have to dispose of them.
So they don't go to the glue factory, do they?
We have to put them down when they get to be too old, or where they go after that.
What's the average, would you say?
The youngest horses we got here are 6 years old, and the oldest one is 20. Back in Ottawa, we got two or 22 years old. That's pretty well the oldest we got.
Okay. Is there any horse that has a famous history? You know, like down here we had Blackjack, which was a horse that used to pull all the caissons for presidential and state funerals. Do you have a similar horse in the Mounties?
All the horses in the Mounties are like this.
Okay. They're all famous, huh?
I think so.
Boy, that's a real esprit de corps.
No, they all, I'm convinced all those horses are famous because they are the world famous Mounted Police musical ride, and people come and see it. And matter of fact, I invite for that special occasion everybody from the Bay Area to come down and come down to Cow Palace. We'll be showing starting tonight, the 18th, until the 27th, every night, plus matinee shows on the weekends. So everybody's invited to come down, and you definitely won't regret it. It's a good show.
Well, I saw Lippa's on it, so you got a lot to look up to.
It is a totally different type of work, but it's definitely well worth seeing. And also, there'll be the rodeo at the same time, so everybody's welcome to come down. And after that, maybe come and walk through the stables and talk to some of them.
You better wear some thick shoes. We've been speaking to Constable Mark Perrin, who's originally from Quebec, and he's going to be riding tonight in the Canadian segment of this show. Thanks for being on Animals and the Idea of Horses.
Thank you very much, Peter. It was a real pleasure.
This is Peter Paul. Thank you.
That was an interview we did at the Grand National here in San Francisco several years ago as part of our Carson Brazola archives. Among the other events today, there was a military coup in Thailand. And, of course, Thailand has been the source for a lot of international sex trade of Europeans, Canadians, and Americans. And, of course, notorious case, the guy's dead now, Thomas White. We'll be putting up more on that scandal. Now, the question is, will the Thai military stop the international sex trade where these men go over there, especially to Bangkok? And there were media people, too. There was a scandal with a major, some people from a major TV station here in San Francisco. That's surprising. And we did inform the corporate headquarters, but they never responded. So that may blow up in their face again. But anyway, what's happened is a lot of Americans go over to Bangkok, especially, to prey on young boys and girls. And, of course, they've been getting away with this. We don't know the diseases that they may be transmitting and, of course, the trauma on these kids. Now, another issue that's come up is that these young boys that are missing, there is an allegation from a credible source that these boys have been sex-napped, kidnapped by sexual predators, as used as sex slaves, just like women have been used and have been in the news recently, but they're not talking about the boys. The last major case here in California was the Stephen Stainer case, a kid down in central California who was kidnapped when he was 8 years old, and he lived with this family, these two guys, for about 10 years, and then they tried to kidnap another kid, I think named Timothy White. And then the guy was, the kidnappers had a long criminal history of sexual abuse of young boys. So, and of course, we have people here in San Francisco working for the government, the local government, who were involved with these sexual predators. People like Wayne Tridey, who, get this, was on the San Francisco Police Commission, and he was a so-called investigator for the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. And here's this guy, is a connected with a major paper that promotes pedophilia and male prostitution. and also try to intimidate a witness in the Stephen Mary case, U.S. Navy sailor case, which we've talked about many times. Also on this day, talking about slime, Heinrich Himmler was captured by the British Army, and before they could secure him, he committed suicide, and just like his boss, Adolf Hitler, although Hitler turned against Himmler, and Himmler was trying to negotiate a deal with the Allies so that he wouldn't be prosecuted for all of the war crimes and the crimes against humanity that him and his Erich's gotten and his SS and all the rest, Gestapo committed against not only German people, but all the people in the occupied territories. On this day also, here in San Francisco, during the stellar administration of Mayor George Christopher, the World Trade Center opened. Now, that's on San Francisco Bay, I mean, what is called the Embarcadero, and it has many upscale gourmet food and concessions in it. If you ever come to San Francisco, it's worth looking at. It'll keep your hand on your wallet. Also on this day, the famous Judge Falcone, there's a movie out about him where he successfully prosecuted members of the mafia, and they also successfully assassinated him, Luis Caro. At the end of the Spanish-American War, Algonado, who was a Filipino freedom fighter against the Spanish, he fought against the Americans, and of course there was the slogan, the Filipinos are little brown brothers, and the white man's burden, all these phrases came out of that Spanish-American War and the American occupation and suppression. There was a brutal war, we called it a police action, against the Filipino freedom fighters who thought they were rid of the Spanish and now they had to deal with the Americans. Fortunately, they didn't execute Algonac. I also want to say Joan of Arc, who was the freedom fighter for France to get the English out of France because the English had a claim. They captured her, or she was betrayed, and they turned her over to the English who tried her, and then they were going to execute her. She was burned at the stake, and she was declared a saint by the Roman Catholic Church. The next week, Monday, since we're getting back into getting geared up again and our computers are working, we will do a special on Memorial Day, and we're going to try to have an interview with Patrick Butler, who's an expert on the American Civil War and Lincoln, being from Illinois, the land of Lincoln. We'll see if we can get him for that, and we will have some excerpts and interviews with military personnel. And, of course, I do have, you know, he's dead now. The guy who exposed the VA scandal was Art Burnclaw, God rest his soul. He did a lot to help veterans. He died of a heart attack last year, unfortunately. I couldn't get to see him again. And we do have several of his tapes that he gave me for broadcasts, so we'll use those. And then then there's Bill Brumbaugh, who also has been very ill. I haven't heard from him. And then there's the nephew of General Smedley Butler. I haven't heard from him either. Also, he's a Marine embassy guard, and I was very familiar with Russians. Anyway, we have a lot of people that we have dealt with over the years, and of course, we will be. You go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS YouTube, and also Vimeo, VIMEO. We're up there also, and I think we have another one. And also, we've launched our Amicus Veritas broadcasting, and that'll be a separate entity. We have about close to 2,000 interviews and plus videos, and then an update. On the every May we have the San Francisco Beta Breakers, and of course nudity was supposed to be banned. And it's interesting that the only people that we have seen over the years, and I've seen about 20 of these Beta Breakers, are usually older white men who were running nude and displaying, and this year flaunting their shortcomings. And people were getting disgusted with this, and they did it. For kids, a woman was standing with her grandchildren, and this old nude guy decided to flaunt his shortcomings, and this was appalling. We do see an occasional white woman and some of the gays doing this, and there's no reason for for them to be doing this. Also, there is, they're not talking about this, I'm surprised Animal Control hasn't done anything about it. People are running with their dogs, and that's cruelty to animals, in our opinion. But anyway, we'll be back Monday, and hopefully we'll be back on track. And I think this is appropriate for the Mounties. We're going to play this, even though it's their Navy hymn. Okay, we're going to end with our usual politics and poker. And, of course, they're still playing politics with the VA scandal and the IRS scandal and the other military scandals. And also, this has come to my attention that one of the reasons that they've been pushing marijuana is that the war dogs that we've been using in Afghanistan and Iraq have been affected by this. And nobody in the animal welfare advocates of the American Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Animals has not addressed this, and maybe they're not aware of this problem, this scandal. But we'll end with politics and poker. We'll be back. Have a safe weekend. We'll be back Memorial Day at our usual time, 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Have a safe weekend.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a king.
Ready? Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
I suppose we should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Venom.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run Al Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average guy a heavy smoker. There's a nominee, and give him a regard, and watch while he learns that in poker and politics, brother, you gotta have that slippery, haphazardous commodity.
This is Peter Paul Verzola. Thank you for listening. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Have a safe holiday weekend, and we'll be back Monday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Good night. Stay safe.